Any excuse to play Three Little Birds by Bob Marley. We're going to talk about birding this hour and the appeal of birding and the fascination so many of us have with birds. Regular listeners know that I'm a budding birder. I'm a real novice. I don't have a list. I can't tell my warblers apart. I can maybe ID blue jays and cardinals, but not much else. But I love going out and seeing birds and learning more about birds with people who know what they are doing. And the guest we have today knows what he is doing. Arguably the best birder in the world will be our guest this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network. And before we get to our conversation with Noah Stricker, who is author of the new book, not even on the bookshelf yet, Birding Without Borders. Before we get to that, this is the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive, and Kate Archer Kent is here. We have an outstanding challenge for you this hour.
This is really cool, Joy. This generous match, and I must say, this is a dollar-for-dollar match, right now, in effect, up to $5,000 generous Woo-hoo. Match is from current members, including Beck and Zach from Wapaka and 9XM Leadership Circle members Nick and Amy Pendwarden, and it means that they'll match every dollar you give.
It is their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. Double your support for the programs you love and give now. Have your pledge doubled during this dollar-for-dollar match at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And while you're at it, why don't you get philosophical? What does public radio mean? Public radio means listener-supported radio.
And while we do appreciate business contributions and federal and state tax dollars, listener support is the single largest source of WPR's budget. Your contribution of any amount really matters at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And it will be doubled right now up to $5,000. The strength of WPR's budget is that it comes from several different sources, and the single largest piece of the budget pie is member support, including more than 800 members of our 9XM Leadership Circle.
9XM members support WPR with gifts of $100 a month or more. Join the 9XM Leadership Circle now. Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
The Ideas Network keeps you informed, entertained every single day. You get value from Joy Cardine and also People's Pharmacy, Zorba Pastor, and On Your Health, Away with Words, the list goes on. Many others you've come to rely on.
WPR gives you a window on the world like no other. Support the exciting mix of shows that you enjoy on the Ideas Network with your contribution at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We know a lot of people listen to WPR during commuting time and while running errands. That's why we're offering the new WPR Travel Mug as a thank you gift this drive. Your favorite beverage will stay hot or cold as you go to work or drive around town. On top of the practical uses, the new Travel Mug also shows off your WPR and Wisconsin pride. Ask for your Travel Mug when you give $20 a month or more. Here's how.
Go to WPR.org and make your pledge or 888-202-2552. I'm Joy Cardine with Kate Archer-Kent, and we're asking for your support of WPR during this fall membership drive and during this hour when we have a dollar-for-dollar match going on. So your pledge will be doubled. Your pledges will be doubled up to $5,000. So please do give now. This is a great time to double your impact. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And consider this, more than 20,000 WPR members are proud sustaining members. They provide a steady, reliable stream of funding for Wisconsin Public Radio.
You can join their ranks by choosing an amount, say $10 a month or maybe $20 a month if you want the travel mug, and then you set that up on an ongoing basis. It's the best way to support the station you rely on. So become a sustainer right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And our dollar-for-dollar match still in effect, up to $5,000. And we've had a couple people in the last few minutes take advantage of that $5,000 match. Give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And your support of WPR will go twice as far. Don't forget, when you give, you're also entered into the drawing for the Centennial Celebration Package.
Thank you very much, Kate. Thanks to all of you, those of you who have already contributed. If not, please do it now, as our fall membership drive is winding down. This is the second last weekday, anyway. Tomorrow, by the way, is my last day on the air. I would certainly hope to hear from you before then with your pledges of support. This is a great hour to do it, but because of the dollar-for-dollar match, though. So double your pledge. Help us reach the goal this hour at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Thanks very much, Kate. We will talk to you in just a bit. Do you like birds? Of course you do. We are going to talk about why so many of us love birds and love birding. We are going to be talking with someone who broke a world record with the number of species sighted in a year. And we're going to welcome your questions for him. We will welcome your own adventure stories. Maybe there's a bird that you have seen recently that you're very proud of. Maybe you still have a bird on your life list that you're on the quest to find. We would love to hear from you at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We have a number of people who are posting some beautiful photos of birds that they love, that they found either on their backyard feeder or somewhere out in the field. Let me welcome our guest. I'm very happy to have with us Noah Stricker, associate editor of Birding Magazine, author of several books, including Birding Without Borders, An Obsession, A Quest, and The Biggest Year in the World. Good morning.
Hi, Joy. Good morning.
It's great to have you with us. So this book, I should point out, is hot off the press, but it's not on the bookshelves yet. It will be in October?
That's right. The official publication date is October 10th, so it's coming out imminently.
I want to thank you for coming on a little bit early with me. I was begging my producers to get you on the air, as this is my last week on Wisconsin Public Radio, and one of my favorite topics over the years has been birds and talking, doing bird shows. I am a novice. I really don't know. I don't know that much about birding, but I love learning about birding, and I do go out from time to time. Why do you love birding?
Oh, for me, birding has been a long-standing addiction, I suppose. I got into it first when I was in fifth grade. My teacher put a bird feeder on our classroom window, and she would stop class every time a new bird showed up and make us try to identify it. She wasn't like a hardcore bird nerd, but she sure turned me into one. I got so interested in looking at the little finches and grosbeaks and things, and then I'll tell you, it's a slippery slope after that.
Yeah, and in the book, as an obsession, is it an obsession?
I think birding is best treated as an obsession or an addiction,
okay,
at least in this sense. And but of course, a very good one.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with it. So you tell us about this biggest year in the world. You created a goal for yourself to see, what, 5,000 species of birds, so which is about half of the birds on Earth, within 1 year?
Yeah, that's right. In the birdwatching world, a big year is where you go out and try to find as many species of birds as possible in one calendar year between January 1st and December 31st. And it's somewhat of a tradition going back even to the 1950s. Roger Torrey Peterson did a big trip across the U.S. and birders have done big years on many scales, from, say, your backyard to your city to your county or your state, or if you're really crazy, even a whole continent. Like the three guys who did a big year that was even made into a Hollywood movie starring Jack Black, Owen Wilson, and Steve Martin came out a few years ago called The Big Year. Well, this was the same concept, except taking on all of planet Earth. There's about 10,000 species of birds on Earth, and my goal was to see half of them.
And how'd you do?
I did quite well. From the beginning, my goal was to see 5,000 species, and in the end, I ended up with 6,042, so I even blew away all expectations.
And that was a world record.
It was, yeah, by about 1,700. Nobody had really attempted this kind of thing on quite such an ambitious scale before.
Yeah, so, boy, congratulations. and so you must have been just constantly on the go.
My whole strategy had to do with connecting with local bird watchers in all of the different places I visited. By the end of the year, I'd traveled to 41 different countries on all seven continents, trying to go to the places where there were the most birds. So I spent a lot of time in the tropics because that's where the biggest biodiversity is. But seeking out like-minded fellow bird lovers in, you know, South India and Turkey and Sichuan, China, and all these different spots. It turns out that this was a very good time to do a big year worldwide because just in the past 10 years or so even, bird watching has become much more of an international pursuit than it ever has been before. And I think that's thanks to the internet connecting people.
Yeah, I did see that Big Year movie, and it almost looked like a super competitive nature of birding. But in my limited experience, it's really not that way. Birders really help each other out, saying, hey, you can go see this bird over here.
I would call someone up or email them who I had never met before in my life and basically explain the project, say I'm doing a big year. Can I come sleep on your couch? And do you want to take me to your favorite hotspots? And it's amazing what people will do. The generosity of all these different birders just blew me away. And so, yes, I was hosted in all these different places, and now I have many favors to repay for the rest of my life.
Right. So this was the year of 2015 when you did this?
Yeah, that was 2015, so Just about 2 years ago.
And the first bird you saw, what was it and where?
Well, I have a personal history with Antarctica. I have been to Antarctica about 15 times now. I work there as a guide on expedition cruise ships that go south from South America, and I've worked on research projects with penguins. And so I knew from the beginning that this had to be a seven-continent trip, even if there maybe aren't that many species of birds in Antarctica. And I would kick things off on the southernmost continent. So I started at midnight on New Year, January 1st, on a Russian ship off the coast of the Antarctic Peninsula, and I really wanted my very first bird of the year to be a penguin.
Aww.
As it turned out, I did see a penguin that very first morning, but the first bird I saw was a nice southern ocean seabird called a Cape Petrel. And a petrel is named for St. Peter, apparently, and his habit of walking on water. They're these very graceful seabirds that seem to float over the waves, and so I thought that was a good omen to start things off.
Yeah. After that, you traveled all over the world. You went to 41 countries across all seven continents. I just can't even imagine. That's a lot of traveling around, but was there a region of the world in particular where you were just racking them up, or where you were having the time of your life?
The real beauty of birding is that there are birds everywhere in the world. They are almost the most universal animals we have on this planet, and so you can be a bird watcher no matter where you are. Even if you're in the inner city, you can look at pigeons, I suppose. Mm-hmm. But some places do naturally have more species than others, and the one place in the world that has the most birds is undoubtedly the northwestern corner of South America. So Colombia, Ecuador, Peru, and northwest Brazil, that whole region, the biodiversity is just off the charts. Even if you take just the country of Ecuador, which is smaller than the state of Colorado, it has 1,800 species of birds compared to, like, all of the U.S. has maybe 700. And so I spent quite a bit of time just in that area.
Mm-hmm. What was the, I mean, I suppose you saw a lot of rare birds, but was there a rarest bird that you spotted, or one that was just a complete thrill for you?
I think the rarest bird I saw during the year, there's a couple different ways to define rarity, but in New Guinea, I got to see an owl called a golden masked owl that's endemic to one island in New Guinea called New Britain, which birdwatchers hardly ever visit. But I went there, and I connected with a local guy who had seen this owl just a couple of months before I arrived and sort of knew where we might find one, that this bird had not been seen before that alive in about 30 years.
Oh, wow.
And so people were even wondering if it might be extinct. As it turned out, this guy was a guide at a local dive resort, so he was taking some divers out to see fireflies one evening, and this owl flew across in the dark and landed on a fence post, and he went, oh my gosh, I know what that is, and he took a video of it and put it on YouTube where I saw it, and when I saw that video, I changed my plane ticket to go to this remote island of New Britain,
wow.
Came down there a couple months later and met him. His name was Joseph, and he took me out into a palm oil plantation, just about the last place in the world I'd ever expect to find the rarest bird of the year. And sure enough, there was this golden masked owl. So just goes to show that anything is possible.
Noah Stricker is our guest. He is the author of Birding Without Borders, An Obsession, A Quest, and the Biggest Year in the World. We welcome your questions for him about his bird-watching accomplishments. We welcome your bird-watching accomplishments. Do you have a bird that you're looking for during this fall migration time? Have you seen something really rare or interesting? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page and post a photo of a bird that you're particularly proud of. We'd love to see that as well. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. We are talking about birding. We're talking about the birds of the world. We're talking about the fascination with bird watching. Are you a bird watcher? What's the appeal for you? What are you seeing these days? What's your proudest sighting? What's still on your life list? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@WPR.org. We'll get back to our conversation with Noah Stricker, who is the author of Birding Without Borders, about the year where he broke the world's record for seeing the most species of birds in a single year. But before we get back to that conversation, Kate Archer-Kent joins us as we are in our fall membership drive. We're actually winding down our fall membership drive, and we have a very special challenge going on this hour.
We do, and it's might as well say we're winding up. We have this dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now, up to $5,000. It's from current members, including Beck and Zach from Wapaka, and 9XM Leadership Circle members, Nick and Amy Pendwarden. Your gift of $50 turns into $100, $100 turns into $200, and you get the idea. So please, right now, take advantage of this match. Double your support for WPR programs when you give right now. There is match money available, plenty of it, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Listening to the Ideas Network is like a tuition-free lifelong education. All you need is a radio, a computer, or a mobile device to listen on.
And it's your support that makes this lifelong learning available to you and hundreds of thousands of other people too. It's amazing. So you have the power to share information and learning with a huge community of people when you support WPR with your pledge, where it will be doubled right now, at WPR.org or 888 888- 202-2552.
How do you know it's time to donate to WPR? Well, you're listening right now during our fall membership drive. That's a sign. And whether you tune in for one favorite program or you find yourself checking in repeatedly throughout the day or week, you have made a habit of listening.
Now make a habit of giving. Listener support is the single largest piece of our budget pie. Your support brings you the programs and services you've come to rely on. It's easy to become a member. Get started right now with your gift of $10 or $20 a month. It will be matched with our match going on right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Now let's admit it, sometimes we spend money on silly things.
I spent money at a silent auction thinking I wouldn't win, and I did, and I won art that was honestly a little creepy.
1976 MGB, that hasn't run in 20 years. I regret it, and I see it every day in my garage, and I regret it even more.
From creepy art to lemon cars, we've all made questionable decisions about how we spend our money. So it might be time to make a few smart ones. You can start by supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. Listener support is the single largest source of funding at WPR. So make a sound investment with your gift to WPR right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I'm Joy Cardine with Kate Archer-Kent asking for your support of WPR during our fall membership drive. Maybe your gift is $10 a month or $20 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount.
And we have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $5,000 in effect right now. It's a great time to pledge because current members, including Beck and Zach from Wapaka and 9XM Leadership Circle members Nick and Amy Pendwarden, will double every dollar you give. It's their way of inspiring you to support WPR. So double the impact of your pledge right now. Make it go twice as far at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You support the things that make your life more meaningful. Wisconsin Public Radio is one of those things. Here you get the information about events in our region and all over the world. You also get music and humor and storytelling. And sometimes you get conversation about birds.
You'll want a lot of news and information in the coming year, and your support now will make that possible. Make a difference. WPR.org or 888-202-2552 with your gift of the amount that's right for you.
And I really love these dollar-for-dollar challenge matches.
Get our juices flowing.
Yeah, and yeah. We are not quite halfway toward that $5,000 match. So room for you to double your impact, double your the amount of your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Thanks to Janet from Lafarge, who says, my first recollection of Wisconsin Public Radio was in high school in the 1960s. It was our radio music class. Yeah. I loved it then, and I have listened ever since. That's right. Wisconsin Public Radio has been around a long time, and this is our 100th anniversary, our centennial, and we are celebrating, and it's all because of you. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Thanks, Kate. We'll talk to you in just a bit. Back now to a conversation on one of the things that makes life worth living, one of the things that makes life more enjoyable, birds. We are talking with the author of Birding Without Borders, An Obsession, A Quest, and the Biggest Year in the World. Noah Stricker is also the associate editor of Birding Magazine. So we're talking about his really big year all over the world, and we're talking about your adventures as well. We welcome your experiences. We welcome your questions for Noah. And maybe even if you're a novice and you want to get some advice, I bet you Noah will have some of that for you, too. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page and post some photos there of your favorite birds, maybe, that you have been watching. I do say we have a number of photos already on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, but let me also remind you that when I retire after tomorrow, the Joy Cardine Cardine Show Facebook page is going to be retired as well. So do be sure to go to the Ideas Network Facebook page and like that, and that's where you will find all sorts of content for the Ideas Network talk shows now and in the future. So let's take a call from Diane in Ridgeway, Iowa. Hi, Diane.
Good morning.
Morning.
First of all, congratulations to Noah on his worldwide travels and all of his birds. That's phenomenal. And I would like to get his book. So I'm calling to comment on a couple birds that I have seen that you asked of are unusual or that probably struck me the most. Was an oven bird making his nest along a gravel road, along a blueberry patch in Iowa.
Oh.
I was driving by, and I said, whoa, we have to back up. And it was probably 6 feet from a little fence line in the middle of nowhere.
And why was that so unusual, Diane?
Well, I'd never seen that bird. I needed to identify it with all the streaks on his breast and his actions and what he was doing, and they actually do make a nest that looks like a little oven on the ground. So,
oh, very neat, very neat.
Yes.
And that's exciting. And then you saw another one?
Well, I've seen several birds, but I think the other someplace else I hardly ever go is whale watching. I was 7 miles off the coast of Monterey, California, and I saw several shearwaters and several different birds. But I guess the brown albatross was one of my in awe birds.
Yeah, and why were you in awe for that?
They are huge. I think their wingspan is, I don't know how many feet, but it's really big. And to see one of the birds that maybe go to shore once a year to lay eggs, otherwise they're constantly soaring over the waves. So that was really unique.
Thank you, Diane, for sharing that. Did you have any other questions? Or?
Well, I had one comment. I was in Florida this last year visiting my sisters. I always do a lot of bird watching on the beach and the shorelines. And I saw one banded sandwich tern. And I had never seen a banded tern before. And I really have not reported it to anybody, but I would like to.
Maybe I'm going to jump in. Noah, should she report this this banded bird?
Yeah, Diane, hi.
Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Great bird sightings. I love oven birds. I don't get to see them very often out west.
Well, I've only seen them twice now in my life. Another time was northern Minnesota, just taking a walk through the woods. I go, oh, my gosh, I saw the American Redstart, and that's the bird that got me started bird watching, was to see female gray and yellow bird sitting on a nest, and this orange and black one came to feed it. And I thought, what is that bird? So that's what got me bird watching, was the American Redstart.
I think warblers in general get a lot of people started in birding because they're so colorful. The oven bird is technically a warbler, but it's kind of an exception because it's so brown and streaky. It almost looks like a sparrow or something. And I've just got to say that albatross are one of my personal favorite birds in the whole world. Just their whole lifestyle seems so foreign to ours. It seems almost romantic to me because they spend so long just soaring gracefully out over the ocean without hardly ever coming back to land at all, and they can fly a million miles in their lifetime. So in any case, good one. But about the banded sandwich tern you saw in Florida, yeah, I don't personally know where it would have come from. It's obviously from some research project somewhere that they're tracking them, and I'm sure the researchers would be quite happy to know that you saw it. If it was a color band, you can report the color combination, like if you saw yellow over blue or something like that on the left leg. You can log on to I think it's the North American Bird Banding Labs website, and they've got a form that you can fill out. It's pretty easy just to report where and when you saw it and what the colors were. And if they can match it up with the records they have, they'll contact the researcher and they'll even send you a certificate that shows you everything they know about that one bird and where it's ever been spotted. So it's kind of fun.
Thank you very much, Diane, for sharing all of those different sightings. We have a listener who emailed and says, my husband and I still need the painted bunting for our life list. Are they in Oklahoma in October? Well, that's pretty specific.
Oh, Oklahoma in October. I think that's getting a bit late for painted buntings. They are a summer migrant here in the U.S., and they only live in kind of the southeast U.S., so they may be in Oklahoma earlier in the summer. If you want to see one in the wintertime, I'd say take yourself a nice tropical vacation down to Costa Rica, and maybe you'll have a chance to see one. They are quite beautiful.
Yeah, Costa Rica's a couple of people I know who are big birders. That's like their paradise. They want to go there to see a lot of birds during our winter.
Oh, yeah, and if you get a chance to see the resplendent Quetzal, that's like the top bird to find in Costa Rica.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about the life list. You have a life list that you still have birds on, Noah?
Yeah, so your life list is just literally a list of every species of bird you've ever seen, and birders can get quite neurotic about keeping these lists. It gets down to, you know, your yard list and your year list and your county list, and the life list is the sum of all your personal lists. I see it as a good game and a motivation to get out there in the field and see things, because sometimes you wake up in the morning and you're like, well, I don't know, it's raining and it's cold outside, but I might see something new, and so that gets you out the door. And then once you're outside, it's not just about the numbers and ticking things off. It's more about enjoying the whole experience of watching birds.
Yeah. So with 6,042 birds, species that you saw in your biggest year in the world, I guess you still have 4,000 and some that you still need to see?
That's right. Somehow I missed 4,000 species of birds that year. It is a game of diminishing returns, so you can't exactly just go back out the next year and see the other half of the birds in the world, because you get into the really rare ones. In terms of life listing, I think there's a British guy who's in his 80s now who says he's seen more than 9,000 of the 10,500 or so birds in the world, but that's still, even the top lister then still has missed 1,500, so it's impossible to ever see them all.
Cindy from Belleville wonders, have you ever seen a kiwi bird, Noah?
I have, in New Zealand. During my big year, I spent literally a day and a half in Auckland before moving on, and during that time, I got out one evening after dark in a local park that had been fenced off and all of the rats had been removed because they prey on the local bird life like kiwis, and walked around at about 10 p.m. with a flashlight very quietly until me and a friend heard some rustling in the dry leaf litter and turned on our light, and sure enough, there's this bird that doesn't really look like a bird. It looks like a blob with a beak sticking out one end. Kiwis are very strange animals, and they are mostly nocturnal, so you've got to go out after dark to see them usually.
Let's take another call from Nancy in Sheldon. Hi, Nancy.
Good morning.
Morning.
I have a question. This spring, because we feed all the birds and we have a habitat next to our house garden area, and we seen a banded grackle. And my question is, you know, grackles are not really considered a real desirable bird, but it had a band on its leg. And I tried calling the Audubon Society because they do come around and count the birds in our area here, but I didn't get to speak with anybody. So does your guest have any answers there?
So why would anybody want to band a grackle, Noah?
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, I've worked on quite a few bird banding projects over my career thus far, and sometimes people will study one species that they're interested in, and sometimes it's more of a whole ecosystem study. So they'll run mist netting stations. You set up these very fine nylon mesh nets and catch any bird that comes through, including a grackle if it happens to be there. And that means that you can take data on a whole slice of avian kind, and as the data builds up over multiple years, then you can start seeing if they migrate earlier or later, or if there's population shifts and that kind of thing. And they will band those birds just to see if they show up in other places. And so, again, they'd probably be quite interested in recovering the number on that band if they could read it. So yeah, there's all kinds of birds out there with bands on them.
Thanks for the call, Nancy. Our guest is Noah Stricker. He is the author of Birding Without Borders, An Obsession, A Quest, and The Biggest Year in the World, talking with us about his breaking of the world's record for seeing the most birds in a single year all over the world. He racked up 6,042 avian species. So we're talking with him about that that adventure. We're welcoming your questions about birds. We're welcoming your sightings. We're welcoming your life list birds. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. In our next segment, we will talk a little bit about how we can get involved with birding and bird watching, how we can become better birders. We'll get some advice from Noah. But before that, let me welcome back Kate Archer-Kent.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are we doing with that challenge?
Oh, well, we still have a bit. Oh, actually, no, we just raised it. We just went over 6,000. And so, yes, we have met.
We made the dollar for dollar challenge.
That's excellent. Yeah, yes, okay. Rising to the challenge.
But we still have 12 more pledges to make our goal.
A dozen more pledges to go to make our hourly goal. So we want to thank our challenge grant from current members Beck and Zach from WAPACA and 9XM Leadership Circle members Nick and Amy Penwarden. We really appreciate for you taking the helm there and, getting people up and ready to get a match and become members of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Wisconsin has truly been a pioneer in public radio. This year, we are celebrating 100 years of broadcasting. That's an accomplishment that's only possible thanks to listener support.
Your pledge today helps make another 100 years of public service possible, whether it's good old-fashioned radio, mobile and streaming apps, or podcasting and digital content. It all starts right now with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hi, my name is Tom. I drive truck for a living, and I always look forward to when I can tune in to 90.7 WHAD.
Many Americans cannot afford to eat the healthy foods needed.
WPR, to me, is a respite from all the usual noise and mindless chatter of most commercial radio stations. It's great to be tuned into WPR as I tick off the miles on the highway. It makes the world seem a little closer to me, and it brings the issues and discussions of the day a little closer to home.
Thank you for your pledge, WPR.org or 888-202-2552 if you'd like to contribute to Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine with Kate Archer-Kent asking for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. And I really love it, Kate. We have such a wide variety and diverse numbers of people listening along people listening in the operating room, two people listening as a truck driver on over the road. Just Wisconsin Public Radio can be wherever you are, and it is accessible to everyone. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And perhaps you're a sustainer, or you've already given this drive, or you renew your membership in the mail every year. Thank you. We really appreciate your support.
There's still something more you can do to help. You can encourage a friend to join the Wisconsin Public Radio community. Sometimes we need a nudge from someone that we respect to do the right thing.
So use your powers for good. Motivate a friend to make a pledge right now. Tell them to go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Let me thank Jill from Wausau who pledged. She says, I travel from Marshfield to Wausau for work daily. Listening to WPR to and from work has kept my travel worthwhile. Thanks for keeping me informed with great programming. Jill, thank you. We are at your service. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. We are talking with Noah Stricker, who is the author of Birding Without Borders, An Obsession, A Quest, and The Biggest Year in the World. He is also an associate editor of Birding Magazine. We welcome your questions for him at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. and post a photo if you want to on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. I love seeing a number of photos there, including there's one from Linda, I believe, from the Baraboo area, who showed a photo of Anna's hummingbird. This apparently was a very a rare-ish sighting for Wisconsin. It was Anna's hummingbird that was at her house in the Baraboo Bluffs. The most exciting day for me, she says. And that is kind of unusual, isn't it, Noah?
Oh, yeah. Anna's hummingbird is a West Coast species. I have them here in my backyard in Oregon, but they shouldn't be out there in Wisconsin. That's out of range.
Yeah, this was, this wasn't this fall, but it was a couple of years ago. So sometimes these birds just, I don't know, they get lost.
They do have wings. They can fly anywhere they want. So birds show up in unusual places sometimes, and that's what keeps life spicy.
And here's I love this. Somebody who wants to get involved in birding who doesn't know a lot about it. That comment is pretty funny. He said, how do I get involved in birding? I don't want to just sit in the woods somewhere with a bird book and there are no good birds around.
So, yeah, well,
advice for the novice, I guess.
That's a good start. Mm-hmm. You want a good pair of binoculars and a field guide so you can try to figure out what you're looking at. But also, it really helps to get to know somebody or a group of people who are already into it, because that really shortcuts. They can tell you the best spots to go locally and when to go there during migration and all the rest. And fortunately, there's Audubon groups and bird clubs in basically every city in the U.S. And so it's just a matter of seeking them out and meeting your like-minded fellow bird nerds and getting used to the fact that you can call yourself one.
Now, fall migration, I guess it's probably winding down. We had really warm fall weather until just a few days ago, actually. But, you can birdwatch, go birding all year round, can't you? You don't have to just wait for migration periods.
Oh, yeah. We have birds that just come for the winter. We have birds that come through in the spring and the fall in between the tropics and the Arctic. We have birds that live year-round. And the great thing about birding is everywhere you go, there are birds, but there are different birds in all these different spots, including in different habitats. So you go to a lake, there's different birds than in a forest and in a field. And you start to learn that you can predict which birds you will find just by what the habitat looks like where you are.
Yeah. Harvey from Milwaukee asks, how did Noah afford to take a birding trip like this? He says, I'd sure like to do something like that too. So I guess that's rather personal, but are you able to, I don't know, how do you save if you really want to be traveling around the world looking for birds?
Well, yeah, I was definitely on a budget. So, for instance, in places like South India, I was able to travel and go birding on less than $10 per day total. This is, staying at mm-hmm. people's houses and eating street food for a quarter and all the rest. So it wasn't necessarily the most comfortable trip all the time. And I guess it's something to think about. Travel, like anything else, is a priority, and you can do it on almost any budget. In my case, this was quite a big trip, and I'm not independently wealthy or anything, and it was possible because of a book contract for this Birding Without Borders book, and I used my advance up front to try to cover parts of the trip.
Tony in Egg Harbor is with us. Hi, Tony.
Well, good morning, Noah and Joy, and just one quick congratulations, and it's not retirement, it's rewirement.
So I like that.
It is fabulous.
I'm going to rewire things, yeah. So what do you see in Door County?
Yeah, we live up here in Northern Door, and we just have over preponderance of pileated woodpeckers. And I just watch them and hear them and love them, and they're about sometimes up to about 18 inches long. And I wanted to know from Noah, when they're pecking a hole in a tree, is that a one and done, and whatever they're going to feed at that moment? Or do they revisit their work, and are they territorial with their work?
Hmm. Yeah, good questions. Pileated woodpeckers are the largest woodpecker in North America now, if you discount the ivory-billed, which is probably extinct at this point. And they're massive, pileated woodpeckers, as you said. They're, foot and a half tall. So they're quite impressive, and they can carve up a tree. They really like to go after grubs that are buried in the dead wood, usually of a snag, and I have them here on my property in Oregon as well. We had a pair of pileated woodpeckers several years ago that got so enamored with the bugs in one snag that they pecked around the whole base of it, and eventually there was only a tiny little bit of wood left, and in the next windstorm, the whole snag blew over. So they can actually cut trees down if they have a mind to. But they also dig a hole in the snag when they're going to nest, and that is usually not reused from one year to the next for a woodpecker, so they'll leave that hole the next year for another bird or a squirrel or something to come nest in.
Thanks, Tony. Let's go to Joe in Middleton next. Hi, Joe.
Hello there.
Yes, what's your question?
I was wondering if he knew what a woodpecker called a hoopoe is.
Hoopoe?
Oh, yeah. We don't have hoopoes here in the U.S. or the Western Hemisphere, but they're all over in Europe and even Africa and Asia as well. Madagascar has hoopoes. They're a bizarre-looking bird. They are technically a woodpecker. That's very good, but they spend a lot of time sitting on the ground, not on trees, and they have this crazy hammer-shaped crest on the top of their head and this kind of thin, droopy beak and striped and sort of orange-colored all over. They are very cool-looking birds, quite distinctive. You can't really mistake a hoopoe for anything else.
Thank you, Joe. Let's go to Jerry in Luck. Hi, Jerry.
Good morning. One winter, my father farmed in southern Wisconsin, and one winter we had this really large white bird visit the farm, and several people saw it, and no one had any idea. And my wife's pretty convinced it had to be a snowy owl. Is there any chance it was another bird?
As soon as you said you had a big white bird in the dead of winter out on a farm, I was thinking snowy owl even before you said it. So I actually think that's quite possible. Snowy owls are Arctic nesting, and they come down sometimes in the winter, usually apparently in years that have been very good for lemmings in the Arctic, and the snowy owls have had a lot of chicks in each nest, and they're looking for space, and so they expand. The traditional idea was that it was the opposite, that it was in years when there wasn't enough food. They came down farther south searching for food, but in any case, we see them kind of every few years or so, there's a big invasion of snowy owls. Usually in November and December is the best time of year to look for them, and out in areas that look like tundra. So runways and farm fields and agricultural areas are the best places to find them. So I bet that's what it was.
I wish we had more time, but we don't. Why don't you leave us with what do you hope readers take away from your book?
I hope that people can see that birding is not just about racking up species, but about the whole experience of getting out and seeing the world one bird at a time and having all these different adventures along the way. So instead of just one long list of birds and place names, it's more the stories and the people and the characters involved.
And I'm going to get involved much more in my rewirement coming up. Thank you very much for being with us.
Well, thanks so much, Joy, and best wishes for tomorrow.
Thank you very much. Noah Stricker is the author of Birding Without Borders, An Obsession, A Quest, and the Biggest Year in the World. It's going to be out, I think he said, October 10th. Kate Archer-Kent is with us for the next couple of minutes of this hour to see how we're doing toward our goal during this, our fall membership drive. You can help us reach that goal at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Well, as Noah said, one bird at a time, Joe. We're one pledge at a time. And wow, what an hour. We made our match, which is fantastic. Thank you so much for that. And we're just shy. I have a few pledges here before the hour's up. We need several more pledges to come in to make our hourly goal. And birds are not chirping. You rose to the challenge. We appreciate that. And make your pledge right now if you haven't done so already at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Four more pledges to go to reach the goal. And just a couple of minutes so you can help us reach that goal. Make it a really outstanding hour at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. 202-2552. On the Ideas Network, you hear diverse viewpoints from different guests, and listeners bring their unique perspectives to the conversations, too. So because there's so much good food for thought on these programs, it's time to take action. It's time to participate in making this show happen with your contribution at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And cheers to all the birders out there. When you listen to WPR on your way to and from work every day and some on the weekend, you're listening for hundreds of hours a year.
If you've never given to WPR before, make your gift today of, say, $10 a month or maybe $20 a month for hundreds of hours of listening that make WPR, one of the best information and entertainment bargains you'll find anywhere. Your gift really makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Four more pledges to go to reach our goal. You can be one of them at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.